Alrighty, guys. Well, welcome back to another episode of the On-Site Insight Podcast. I'm your host, Corey Tompkins, and today I have none other than the infamous Dwayne Pearce. Mate, I want to thank you again for coming on. For you guys that have that are listening all the way through, this has been a long time coming for me personally. I featured on Dwayne's podcast, a few years ago now.
Been a while, yeah.
And it sort of inspired me to kick it off. So, but I'm not going to talk for him, the man himself. Dwayne, thank you. If you want to give our listeners anyway a little bit of insight to you, and then we'll get going with all the fun stuff.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to pay you back, mate. You come on mine, so I'm happy to come on yours. Yeah. Look, I come on yours, mate, because I think we're both doing this for similar reasons, to help show people the real stories about what happens in the industry. So we're just talking about before we started recording, like I think we're coming up to just on or just over 3 years, 130-odd episodes I think now. And going off the stats we got sent last year, like top construction podcast in Australia and in the top 25% of our category worldwide. So I'm pretty stoked with that.
But yeah.
It's I just want to keep spreading the word, mate. Like,
yeah,
showing people, telling stories. Like that, I think that's what it is. About telling podcasts are about telling stories.
Yeah.
And I think when you tell stories, it educates people really well on what you don't get to see on all the nice shiny social media shit.
And that's it. Like, so we were talking off camera, and I was just trying to tell Dwayne. I was just like, well, you know, he asked me like, well, why do I do it? Why do we do it? And I think we both do it for the same reason, just to bring value to the industry. And it is like guys that are my age or younger or a little bit older, man, you can get so wrapped up in the lights and the cameras of social media. And it's all glamorous, isn't it?
It's all about the numbers, mate.
It's all fabulous. You know, I'm doing this much a week or this much a year and this photo and this render and this house looks great and it always looks great. And, that's why I decided to do it was because,
because most of it's bullshit, mate.
Yeah, and business is designed to be shit. Like, it's designed to be hard. It's not designed to be easy. And that's why there's a whole statistic. We went off on a little podcast a while ago about the statistic of tradies going out there and working for themselves because they want to live that lifestyle. And
I don't know if it's designed to be hard. It's look, challenges are what grows us.
Mm.
It's about, like, the problem is, and I know I can put my hand up because I was probably like this. So it's very easy when you're working with somebody else to think the grass is green on the other side. Oh, look at this. He turns up in his big truck and he makes all the money. Yeah.
He's here for 5 minutes and then he's doing nothing.
Yeah, like a lot of people, especially people in the industry with an old school mindset, like, really have no idea. Like, you, if you want to be successful in business, you got to do whatever it takes.
Mm.
And if that means working Saturdays and Sundays, putting the hours late at night, like, you do what it takes.
But that's it.
As you progress through business and you become more of aware of what you're doing and how you're doing things, and I've seen lately you seem to be doing a lot with building culture and team, which I'm really big on as well.
Mm.
The pressure never really goes away. The problems never really go away.
Mm.
But us as individuals grow over time. And we learn to deal with it differently.
Mm.
So, like, my business, everyone thinks my business is this perfect, well-oiled machine. But, mate, I still have the same issues most days that I've always had. It's just that we have the systems and the processes. We have an incredible team. And we deal with things very differently to how I did 10, 15 years ago.
And you've got the mindset now as well. And the analogy that I used a while ago for someone was, I think about it as like parents, you know. When you see parents that have got 7, 8 kids, the kids don't get any easier. The parent just becomes more, they learn to deal with it
some,
a bit better.
Some parents,
you know, for the most part, but because the question got thrown at me, you know, I was in some sort of setting and it was like, oh, I don't know how they deal with it. It's like, it's the same in business.
Mm.
The problems don't go away. nothing changes. It's still the same thing. It's just the individual changes. You learn to maneuver it and change, and the mindset around it and how to deal with it. And
well, you know. And a lot of it gets solved because you learn to accept different things, because that's the number one thing, I think, a lot of the time. Like, you're only as good as what you accept. So if you're constantly having issues with your team, then it's because you're accepting the wrong team members. If you're constantly having issues with clients, it's because you're accepting the wrong types of clients. Like, if you're constantly not making money, it's because you're accepting that you know what you're doing and you're not reaching out and getting help. Like,
I put up a thing the other day, and I got some backlash about it. It was about the numbers. Right, that's going to be a bit controversial, but it was the context of it was about a 5-second snippet. Nick obviously chopped it up a certain way to get engagement, whatever. But I put up a thing saying that there's this massive, like, I'm talking grassroots when you just start out, you know, whether it's just you and a trailer or you and an apprentice. And I was contextualizing it to myself. When I first started out, I was doing 70, maybe 75 hours a week. Tamara was pregnant at the time, and Saturdays, Sundays, you name it, it was whatever, all the time. And, you know, it was the whole thing about knowing the numbers, how much profit am I making on that job? I didn't have enough time to even know. I'd write it down on a freaking bit of paperwork, and I'd be like, okay, I charged 500 and took me 2 hours. Like, that was it. That's as far as the depth was. And, when I put it up there, oh, man, there was all these guys coming in. Oh, if you don't know your numbers, you're fucked. You're this, that. You don't know this. You don't know that. And, yes, as you evolve in business and you get team and people in and around you, it's a little bit of a different story. But right at the start, you don't even have the time to look at the numbers. The only time you got is when you get home and you invoice. That's it. Get home at 7 p.m., you do your invoice, you're fucked. You're in bed, you're finished.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was very interesting to see how the coin flipped from side to side, because there was guys in there, like Critique, he was in there. He was going, oh, well, you know. It was funny. Like, there was a bit of a battle going on between them. And, it was actually quite interesting to see how those people do it. So, but anyway.
I saw that post, and I sit on both sides of the fence of it. But as you're fully aware, like, I'm huge on your numbers.
Yeah.
I think numbers are everything. And
I
think it is something we need to teach people that are wanting to get into business, because if you know your numbers, you will get to where you want to go 100%. A lot quicker.
Mm.
And so many people. Look, this is all basic shit that we really should be educated on at school, 100%. But because, I don't know, people can think whatever, but, like, I believe that we're all taught to be sheep, and we're told what they want to tell us. And
oh, but then you go and do your Cert 4 or something, and they say you can go out there and start. Yeah, it's like, not numbers, really in depth.
Numbers are really, really important. And I just, going through what I've been through and to where I am now, like, just putting some more time and energy into knowing my numbers. But, again, even with that, like, unless you reach out to somebody, like, my big thing is you need to be reaching out to people that are where you want to be. And one reason I really hate social media is because what people put on there is not who they are. There's very few people that put out there, fuck, I could go and buy 3 Lamborghinis today and fucking take photos with all my Lamborghinis.
Or go and rent them, whatever you want to do. Yeah.
And people would think I'm killing it.
Yeah.
I couldn't give a fuck about a Lamborghini. I would rather have family holidays, time with my kids, go and spend time on my farm, fucking whatever. But people just see that flash shit or that lifestyle and want to get straight there. And a lot of people do it just by working their ass off flat out every single day and not knowing their numbers. But the reality is, if you know your numbers a lot earlier in life, you will get to where you want to go a lot quicker. But I guess it is one of those things that's really boring, and people just don't get it. They, like, if you're anything like I told myself a story for years that I was too dumb, I didn't understand, I'm not an accountant, like all those things is. And a lot of people put their I guess everything in the hands of bookkeepers and accountants
that
a lot of the time don't understand building businesses anyway. And reality is, like, we're taught at school, you get your tax at the end of the year, and if they say you made money, you've made money. But if you don't know where that money's come from, and
that's it.
Like, we all know, like, most, well, there's over 80 I'm firm on my numbers here. Like, there's over 80% of the building industry trades insolvent. And yep. I'll go toe-to-toe with anyone that wants to argue with me on that or comment or whatever. But that's reality. Mm-hmm. Like, if I sat down with you and actually talked you through all your finances, I would prove to you that you're trading insolvent.
Yeah. Yeah. And for everyone listening, it's taken me probably 7 years to finally, you know, we're in our ninth year now. So it took, probably 7.5 to 8 years for me to really actually know my numbers, right?
Took me nine to twelve, mate.
To pull apart my P&Ls, to pull apart my cash flow forecasting, to pull apart everything and know what the net is, not what you think it is, what it actually is. Because what the net is on your P&L isn't your true fucking net. It's not enough.
So many parts to it, mate. Yeah. Like, another thing that I try and bang on about a lot, and people generally give me shit or make shit comments about it, is like, people don't know the charge out rates. Mm. Like, they think they're paying someone $45 an hour.
Or there's just this myth about it's just what it is. People just pluck a number out of the sky and they go, well, I'll just pick that number and I'll roll with it.
Yeah, but I know from a lot of people that do the similar like yourself, like do labour and stuff, but like, they'll be paying a carpenter $45 or $48 an hour and charging them out at $70, $75 and thinking that they're making, like, by the time they pay super and work cover, that they're actually making whatever, $20, $15 an hour or something.
Yeah,
no. And I did that for a very long time, but reality is, like, if you've actually got, the real numbers are, like, if you've got a carpenter that you're paying $48 an hour, or what, any trade, doesn't have to be a carpenter, but if you're paying someone $48 an hour, by the time you take into account all the lost time that they get paid, so the 8 weeks a year, 4 weeks holiday, 2 sick weeks, all their RDOs and all the other bullshit, like, that has to be covered from somewhere.
Mm. So, and depending on who they are too, like, our calculator works off, if you've got a leading hand, the utilitized rate of them, they're not swinging a hammer every day, all day. They're on the phone for 2 hours a day. So it's actually 80% of their day is only utilized while they're there. So there's all these things.
There's all that stuff that needs to take into account. But if you're paying someone properly, you understand all the what you actually have to earn to cover their $48 an hour.
Mm.
Like, someone on $48 an hour getting paid properly on a salary, super work cover, covering all the holidays, sick days, all the other stuff that goes with it, is actually costing a business around $77 an hour.
Yeah.
So if you're charging $70 an hour, you're actually, like I said, you're trading insolvent.
Yeah, you're going backwards, yeah. And then you're told, you know, for us it's a little bit different now when, you know, we get a lot of developers and stuff where they'll say, you know, what's the rate? And you'll say it and, it's like, I guess by knowing the numbers, it gives you the confidence to say, like, this is what it is. Like, I literally can't. Yeah. Where prior to that, you know, 3-4 years ago, I'd be like, oh, fuck, mate. Yeah, of course, whatever. Just knock $10 off the hourly rate. Yeah. Like, we'll take it. Where as you evolve, the business grows and, you know, you've got mouths to feed and people have got kids. And for me, I've got to take it a little bit more seriously now. So I say, no, I'm not driving a Lambo or anything like that. This is just what we need to get this guy there, plus a little bit of fluff. Like, I'm talking maybe $2. Uh-huh. And they're like, oh, okay.
Well, the reality is, mate, a lot of them don't know what it's cost. Like,
well, I'm like, if you're getting a guy at 65 an hour on an ABN, go for it. Yeah, go for it. It's a steal for you.
Yeah.
But for me, it ain't going to work. Yeah. It doesn't
and
work.
That's the fact. Like, once you actually know and understand your numbers, you... It changes the confidence. It changes the way you show up. It changes the conversation you have with people, because you will not take on work any longer that you're going to do your ass on.
Yeah. All right. So I know we've jumped through, but a little bit of a brief idea for you. So I've got a question here. I've got good ones. They're good ones. All right. So you mentor a lot of builders, all right? I would say that you are almost like a little bit of a, you know, a lot of builders in Southeast Queensland, they all look up to you, right, for the most part. You've got the Live Life Build that you mentor them through.
Australia, mate, right? New Zealand. We've actually got some international builders now. So
now that you know a lot of builders, right, what would you say that probably the biggest unspoken fear that most of them have got or have?
Mate, a lot of... Everyone's scared of failure.
Mm.
And they're like, that's probably the biggest one. Like, they just let it hold them back. But so many people know they need help. They know they need mentoring. They know the what they're doing isn't working. It's that fear of, like, will I commit to this? Will I have the time to do this? Can I afford to do this? Like, and they just, they let the fear stop them in their tracks.
Yeah. Because I see it so much. I get a lot of young guys that DM us and, you know, that are just looking to start out on their own, or, you know, the typical, like, hey, man, I'm going out on my own. What are some tips, you know? And usually if I do get back to them, it's usually not what they want to hear, because the only tip is that they just, they got to
work hard, mate.
Work hard and just go for it, you know? And there is a little bit of risk and a little bit of fear involved in doing that. Like, it's not a clean slate of just, yeah, no worries. You're going to go out there and work for yourself and become a millionaire? No.
Fear is a massive handbrake, mate, on most people. And they, I feel like, I'm not sure your thoughts on this, but a lot of that fear, I believe, these days comes from people not wanting to reduce their lifestyle. Like, everyone's become accustomed to driving a brand new car, having the latest tools, being out, like, drinking piss on weekends, going out and eating out two nights a week, whatever it is. That everyone's got their own things that they do. But if you want to start a business, you've got to cut back on some things. Like, yes, those things will come back and they'll get better. And a lot of people, I believe, have this fear that, oh, what if I got to sell my new truck? Oh, what if I can't afford to go on a holiday? Like, all these types of things. And then obviously there's a big one. Oh, what if I can't afford to pay for my house or rent my mortgage or whatever? Like, you have to take a leap at some point in time. Like, and you've got to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to almost the person more than anything. Like, for me, when my back's up against the wall, I just go. Like, it's just, you just go time, whether you got to find more work or you got to work a little bit harder or this, that, and the other. Like, it's more down to the personality than it is. And I think this is where it's become almost glorified, in a sense, for people to become business owners, where some business owners, builders, or fucking whoever it is, right, are in business because they think they should be. But then when the times get tough, it fails, and it's like, well, it's more of the person than it is the actual, you know. For me,
it's always the person.
Yeah.
Like, we, mate, I get so many people reach out to me now for advice and want to know stuff, and
it's almost hard to say it. It's almost hard to give them advice, because it's like the advice that they're searching for is sort of, it's just you. Like, I had a guy message me the other day and be like, how do you do what you do? It's like, I don't know.
But they don't like when I tell them that it's them.
Yeah.
Like, because they think that I'm going to give them this magical solution, like, charge this much and you'll make money, or do this type of work and you'll be successful.
But speak to this architect and he'll feed you.
Like,
it's
all them. It took me a long time to realize this. And look, at Live Life Build, it's why we're such a holistic approach. Like, we do a lot of personal development. It's we now have the best business manual for a building business. I guarantee anybody. But it doesn't matter if I give you that business manual. If you're not working on yourself, if you're not, like, your mindset, your leadership, your, like, I say it all the time, like, I fight my demons every day. Like, I battle constantly with myself telling me, you're not good enough, you shouldn't be doing this, do you deserve this, you don't deserve this, like, all this shit. And so it's something that I've got six coaches, so I'm constantly working on myself. But all people see is my business is doing really well.
That's reality. It's the same. Like, everyone, that's so true. Like, even for me, I've had, you know, from when I sat down with you to where I am now, my old man passed away and I had two kids and bought house, like, did houses and went some overseas trips. Like, my life has changed drastically from then. There was a point in the road where it was, you know, do I let all that, you know, I could have, fuck, there was a, oh man, there was a thousand times where it was just, you know, cash flow was tight. There was no work. I had these people like, fuck. Yeah. And it was just now that I've gone through it, like itching up now to 10 years, or 9 years, sorry. I have a little bit more confidence in myself to know that, okay, if I get in a shit spot again, like, I'll just go.
But like you said, when your back's up against the wall, that's when you go, your artist.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, reality is, mate, it doesn't change. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're worth $100,000, $1 million, $10 million, $100 million. You still get in those situations because, like, the businesses get better, the deals get bigger. Like, so the situations don't get any better or change or get any worse. It's like, again, it's you as a person are developing and getting better.
How often do people message you and say, oh, how do I get my first client?
Mate, I get
that's
all,
always, you know, that's always one that's in there. How do I get my first job? How do I get my first client? It's like,
people want comfort, mate. Like, so many, there is, like, and our industry needs it. There is so many, I believe there's so many incredible tradesmen and builders out there that would do really well on their own, but they just can't break that comfort zone of getting that weekly or fortnightly paycheck. They're so caught up. And look, the other thing is, it's not always them. Like, I hear it now. Like, it's their partner. Like, they might want to go out on their own and have full confidence. But then in their ear, they've got their confidence saying, oh, like, what if you don't earn any money? You've got a family to support. And so then they put the brakes on again and get, like, stay in their comfort zone.
Yeah. All right, guys, congratulations. You're halfway through this episode. I hope you guys are really enjoying it. But first, I just want to make a special thank you to Ideal Group Australia. Without them, I wouldn't be able to bring this podcast to you. So, special thank you. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Buckle in and get ready to listen to the end of this episode. I do.
Yeah.
No, I'm thankful enough. My wife, she's massive supporter. Like, she, I'll risk it all, you know, I'll roll the dice every time, like, and she's always just there. So there's never been hesitation with her, other than, you know, the one rule that I just can't lose the house. So as long as I don't do that, she doesn't really care. But yeah, the partner is definitely a massive thing. And that was something that I put out ages ago about, if guys are looking at starting their own business, the first thing they need to do is have someone on board. If they don't have anyone on board, fantastic. Go solo and go hard.
Well, look, I think, like, my wife and I are very, very different.
Yeah.
And both on very different journeys. Like, I've been on this personal development journey now for a long time, and it caused a little bit of friction for a while there, because I was like, oh, fuck, come on, like, just do this. Like, you see how much it improves things, but I've learned, like, you've got to just let people do what they want to do, and it doesn't mean that you still can't be successful.
You got to be the lighthouse, not the tugboat.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you got to be the person that they look at, not the person that needs to tug them along and, like,
And so now, like, my wife's come full 360. Like, she's fucking doing just as much or more than what I do now. Like, but exactly like you just said, like, be the lighthouse, not the tugboat. Like, that's how we're bringing our kids up now. Like, we don't want to be pulling them along and trying to push them in any certain direction. We're just showing them that if you do this and you learn this and you're good to these people and you understand this, and this is what happens.
Yeah. And that's something that I learned the hard way as well. You know, when I went on a physical journey and then a mental journey and the business and that, it was always, you know, I was comparing myself, not to her, but just like, same, you know, you should do this as well. You know, and then, yeah, wise man said to me, he said, listen, you'll get more resistance if you're trying to tug people along. Same with your kids.
Yeah.
Just be the absolute best version of yourself that you can be.
Yeah.
And just consistently keep doing it. And everyone around you, friends, family, wives, partners, kids, they'll either come. Yeah. They will come. And I have seen that. Yeah.
It's sad, mate. I've seen a lot of mates in the last 5 years like, end up with marriage separations because they're on a journey and they expect their partner to come along as well. And it ends in disaster. I think it's each their own, but at the end of the day, it's all us. Like, it doesn't matter what we get given, what advice we get. Like, and I think that you see it all the time. Like, everyone everyone says, oh, fucking look at that social media marketer. They're killing it. Like, I'm just going to have a crack at that and I'm going to make millions. Or look at Corey. He's smashing it out with Carpentry. I'm going to do that. Or look at Dwayne. He's doing these things. Like, I'm going to kill it. You may kill it. But if you're just because you're doing something that someone else is doing and doing it very successful doesn't mean you're going to be successful.
No.
And you could do, like, I see people get so frustrated because they do the exact same thing. They follow the same script. They put in the same amount of effort. And it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And they blame the thing.
It's the industry shit.
It's fucking nothing.
There's not enough work out there. There's no good guys.
It's nothing to do with the thing. It's it's all you. Like, it's something I'm really focused on pushing now because I truly believe that most people on this planet are not their true self. They've paid no attention to themselves. They're living their life based off old-fashioned stories, beliefs, religions, opinions that family, friend, colleagues has pushed on them or put on them.
Yeah.
And can you imagine, mate, if everyone on this planet was actually like believed in themselves and just did what they believed in?
Oh.
Like, it'd be magical.
Yeah. Massive. It'd be massive. Like, going back to what you just said about the, I had a guy, I put up a little poll and one of the questions was, do you recommend that I should do what you do? Meaning like just do the same thing as what I'm doing. And I responded, and then he responded after, but I responded with, yeah, the pool's always big enough, but the execution is everything. An idea is only ever an idea. That's all it is. You can say, I want to go out there and do that. But executing it, that's where the real magic is made in that execution. And if you get it, you know, it's like the whole idea of like hoarding ideas and holding on to like, oh, I'm not going to tell anyone that I'm doing this. Like, we have a lot of close friends, like me and Tamara, we've got a lot of close friends that do that, that will hold an idea out like we're going to steal it or something. Like, we'll be at a barbecue or something, they'll say something, oh, well, no, we're not telling you about that. But then I always say to her, I'm like, it's worth nothing. It's nothing. And then she sort of does the same thing as well sometimes. Like, she'll come up with an idea. I'm like, it's only an idea. Tell everyone. Tell the world. But no, like, the execution is where it is. If someone executes it faster and better than you, then they were always going to do it anyway.
But then when they see that, like, oh, fuck, they stole my idea.
Exactly. Like, exactly. And I love that.
They followed through.
That's
you
it.
You didn't.
No. And everyone always goes, oh, well, they stole this. And I'm like, well, it was never yours to start with anyway. So, yeah, that was something that I said. And then, yeah, he bit back a little bit and he's like, oh, you know, I'll be able to do it. I was like, all right, well, hey, I'm always here. If you got any questions, need any people advice, like, let me know. Like, I don't care. I'm not hiding anything. You want to come in? You want to see my P&L? You want to... I'll give you everything. I'm not hiding nothing. I'll give you the contacts, whatever you want. I'll give it to you. And we'll see.
I think it's hilarious now, mate. And look, I look back and I think, shit, I was that person for a long time. But like, I put it out there a lot now. Like, I quite often say on my podcast, like, anyone that wants to come and spend the day with me, jump on a plane, come to Brisbane, I will give you all the value that I can.
The DPC experience.
And, mate, even on the podcast, like, come on the podcast, I'll give you some free coaching. But we've now had, I think we've probably had half a dozen people now that have come on and taken it, and it's gone really well. And like, only a month or so ago, I had a young guy fly up from Sydney. And mate, he, like, dedication is everything.
Yep.
Like, he caught a plane from Sydney, I don't know what hour of the morning he left, but literally I picked him up from the airport at 6 o'clock in the morning because I told him, I don't care if you're coming, but I've got to be on site by 6:30.
Yeah.
So he made sure he got a flight. I picked him up from the airport the way through. Mate, by 9 o'clock, he was saying to me, is this a normal day? And I'm like, mate, today's pretty casual.
Yeah,
like, he's like, are you serious? Like, this seems hectic. Your phone's ringing, you're doing this, you're organizing this. I was like, mate, I'm just doing what I got to do.
Yeah, that's it.
And then anyway, he spent the day with me. Then we went back to the shed. We did a podcast with him, and he actually texted me. So the other dedicated part of that was we finished the podcast at like 6:45 that night. He was flying back to Sydney. Like,
no, I think it was like
quarter to nine or something.
Yeah.
So he committed for a day. And like, mate, while he was sitting in the airport waiting to catch his plane that night, like, he sent me this massive message basically just saying, mate, spending the day today with you was better than winning the lotto. And just could not stop thanking me for everything that he'd learned, and he'd written 13 pages of notes or something. And he's now part of Live Life Build. He's joined our community and he's going to kick goals. But
yeah,
you have to commit. Like, anybody can be successful. I'm pretty blunt with people these days, and I wish someone had been more blunt with me when I was going through all my shit. But nothing is going to get handed to you.
No.
The government's not going to help you. Family's not going to help you. There is no easy way.
Mm.
If you want success or you want whatever it is you want in life, it is 100% up to you.
Mm.
You have to be consistent, you have to commit, and you have to show up.
Mm.
And if you do that.
What do they say? It's doing the most boring, mundane task over and over and over and over consistently, day in, day out. That's what the success will be. It's not doing the flashy things. It's not doing nothing else. It's doing the most boring task over and over and over. And the person that can do that the longest will be the most successful. Yeah. And, that's something that I had to learn the hard way. But another thing that I've noticed as well, more of like the younger guys, was when they start out their business whatever venture it is, whether they get a new job, family and friends, right? When they're giving them their props, they're giving, you would see it. When someone starts a new business, it's like having a baby. Congratulations. People go around to their house, they're fucking shaking hands, high-fiving. It's the best day of their life. Their family's sharing all their shit. It's great. But that's not when you really need it. When you really need it is like when all that stuff all goes away. Everyone stops sharing your shit. No one's texting you anymore, asking you how you're going. That's when the reality hits. And I think that's really the sweet spot on when most people get out is because they don't. And that's what business ownership is. Like, I don't have – my wife doesn't – when I get home every day, it's not like I walk through the door and she's like, oh, my God, I hope you had the best day ever. Tell me all about it. Like, it's not. It's just the same thing, And it's like at the start, when I first started out, 100%. I'd get home, she'd be like, oh, what jobs did you do today? This, that, and the other. And that all eventually goes away.
I don't agree with you on that, mate. I think you've got to bring that back.
Yeah.
I make sure every day I ask my wife, how's your day?
Mm.
What was good? What was bad?
Mm.
Same with my kids. Every single day, whether it's when they first get home or sitting around the dinner table, how's your day, guys? What happened? What'd you learn? Who'd you talk to?
Might be because we were two toddlers just hanging off a screaming anyway. And she's like, I've got no fucking time for this.
Yeah. And again, that's something that I haven't always done. I've had to learn. But it doesn't matter what happens at work, how bad the day is, how much money you've made, how much money you've lost. Because let's face it, you don't make money every day in business, even though people think you do. It shouldn't affect the way you show up at home.
Mm.
And I did let it affect me for a long time, but it doesn't matter how bad my day is or what I've had to deal with, I show up.
Showing up at home. Here's another good one. So the running thing at the moment is this whole work-life balance.
There's no such thing.
Okay. All right. So for me, now my point in my journey now, it's a little bit different. I can wake up with the kids. I can be home at night, Fridays, birthdays.
You do hours.
Yeah. I do. Obviously, if we're on hold, it's not like I'm switching off. I'm always on my phone, emails, this, that, and the other. But earlier on, there was no fucking balance. It was very much just going for it. But now the drama that I'm starting to see is guys in their late 20s, early 30s that have just started out, they don't want to do 50 hours or 60 hours a week. They want to be able to, maybe do a job or two a day and fucking ski the rest of the week away on the water or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think, when I look at them, I'm like, okay, well, that's just you. You've just got yourself. You're just a sole trader. What happens if something happens or, there's nothing in and around? It was literally a mate of mine and I was like, when you're not at work, you're not getting paid. There's nothing else coming in. He's like, oh, no, it'll be all right. I'm like, it's a little bit of a risky business that you're in. You're not putting away for nothing.
I don't want to rain on your parade, mate, but I think work-life balance is – when you're in a comfort zone, I think that work-life balancing is just a stupid saying that I think's been thrown around all the time. Like, I get what you're saying, and I that's how I try and operate. If I need to chip in with the kids, or I want to spend time with the kids, like,
it's all calendar based, but
yeah. Well, it is like, you have structure. Structure is the key to success.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But there's no balance to that. Like, I still do the work, that I still get done what's got to get done. Whether and something that I bang on a lot about when people join Live Life Build now, I treat every day the same. I don't give a fuck if it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, fucking Saturday.
Whatever.
Because reality is that this is exactly how people work. So Sunday afternoon, or so even probably some people Sunday morning, start getting down the dumps. Fuck, it's back to work tomorrow. So by Sunday afternoon, they're already pulling themselves back because they don't like their job, they hate what they do, they think they deserve more money, whatever the case, but they're already talking the week down. So Monday, they're dragging their feet around. 90% of people Monday, Tuesday are shit days. Wednesday is the middle of the week, so they start to get on this bit of a high again. And then Thursday is generally the best day of the week, and by smoking on Friday, their head's already in the weekend, and they don't really give a fuck about what they're doing on site because they're already thinking about what they're doing that afternoon, getting on the piss, family, whatever. Saturday's awesome, and then it repeats. Rinse and repeat. And I just think that is an absolutely horrible way to live a life. And so I just treat every day exactly the same. So every single day, I do whatever I need to do to get to where I need to get to in my life, my goals, all those types of things, whatever's going to get to me to my next level. And if that happens to be a Sunday, then it's a fucking Sunday. If everything's running well on a Wednesday, or I've got something scheduled in, like, I'll do something with, like, wife and I will go to lunch, or or I'll spend some, like, my kids are riding their horse riding now, and I'm really enjoying it. So like, I'm putting in the time to make sure I get that time. And but if there's a, like, my wife and I are doing a lot of joint ventures and a few of our own developments and stuff again now. So a lot of the time there's, like, there might be legal contracts or paperwork I need to sign or shit I need to get done. I do what I need to do with my family and wife or whatever. And then once they're settled down, or they want to go and watch their own shows or do their own thing, I'm back in the office and I get that shit done.
Yeah.
So I think work, I don't know about work-life balance.
Like, I don't think it's a thing. I don't think there's really, I think, you know, I think it's just balance, you know. It's not a work-life balance. It's just life. It's just...
Well, the other part of it is, I think, we're all individuals. So, and I've learned this a lot through my wife and I. Like, I can handle a shitload of stress and pressure. She can't. And that's fine. Like, that's good. Because, like, she thrives off the way I am, and I thrive off the way she is. And together we work really well. So another, like, a really big part of my change and what's got me to where I am now is just realizing that everyone can be who they want to be. Like, and I think it would do the world a lot of good if people actually realize that just be yourself. Don't try and live up to someone else's expectations or be someone else, or just because you see someone else working really hard. Like, if you need to chill out, go and chill out.
Yeah. And this whole fucking regiment of, like, people are so rigid with what they need to do these days, and it's like forcing them to be burnt out to a degree. And I'm just like, man, if you got to take a rest day, or you want to do that, like, give yourself the opportunity to do it, but be disciplined in the fact to know that, like, okay, I'm going to do that, but then after that I'm back to doing what I was doing. Like,
yeah,
you know, 100%. You know, for me, I had to, like, not give myself a break to learn that discipline to be able to do it. So that's what I did. But yeah, it was...
If you're not right, nothing else or any can be right, man.
Yeah.
Like, simple as that. If you're working your ass off every single day, you're rooted every night, you're never going to be any good to anybody.
And the thing that I always love hearing is, I need more time. I need more time.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that is a fucking thing. Yeah. You don't need any more time than you already got. You just need to make time with what you've got.
Well, you just got to readjust your priorities.
Readjust your priorities. And if you, you know, it's like the good old saying, like, if you want it bad enough, you'll make it happen. Doesn't matter what it is.
100%.
If you want it bad enough, if you want to lose those 10 kilos, you know, everyone goes, oh, I can't lose it. Mate, if you wanted to do it, you would fucking do it.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just don't want it bad enough. So, all right. Now, here we go. I got a few here. I haven't even...
You're going to be here all night, mate.
No. I'm not going to get through all of them. I wanted to come with a few, though. All right. Why do you think so many good builders are failing in business at the moment? What do you think that the skill is that they're missing? Is there a particular skill that you're noticing?
Mate,
because I deal with a lot of builders myself. I get a lot of builders that DM me, reach out, ring, they want to work in, you know, or they've the show, like I spoke to you briefly about some of the stuff that I've seen at my end with some of the stuff that we've done, mate. Fuck, it is a crazy world that's out there. And yeah, I don't know. It's there's a lot. But yeah, do you think there's like something going on? Like, is there a certain skill that they're not, that they don't have, or?
I don't know. I wouldn't call it a skill.
Yeah.
Well, if I had to put it on one, mate, I'd say ownership.
Yeah.
Like and this just isn't builders, this is everybody.
Everyone, yeah.
People don't take ownership of that situation.
Mm.
Like if you, because it's hard, and it's like I've put this out there a lot, but my solution for that is quite simple. Like I do it on the end of my bed, or sometimes out in the yard. But like if you can't sit on the end of your bed and be brutally honest with yourself, and ask yourself, like, why am I in this situation? Like, do it across the board. Like, why am I not making enough money?
Mm.
Why is my family pissed off at me? Why is my relationship with my kids, my wife, whoever, not right? Why is my team like shit? Why is my business not making money? Like,
it's all you.
It's all you.
Mm.
100% all you. So if I had to put it on one thing, mate, it's ownership. If you, and the reason I say that is because that was the turning point in my life, whatever it is now, 12 years ago.
Mm.
I tried everything. I did everything. I did what people told me to do. I tried all this shit, but nothing will work unless you take 100% ownership. And you are the only person that can put in the time, that can make the decision, that can get the results. No one, like I said before, no one's going to hand
you. And if you want it bad enough, you'll do it. If you want to make the change enough,
yeah.
This
is the other part of it. Like, everyone's got a different level of hurt.
Mm.
Some people think they're hurting, like but they just keep putting up with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so some people losing $1,000 might be enough to make them change. Mm. Some people losing 10 grand. A lot of people, it's nearly losing everything, which was my case.
Mm.
Like I literally had to get to a point where I was about to lose everything before I was like, fuck, what am I doing?
Mm. Yeah. So what do you think? You know, what's the one sacrifice in your career that no one really knows about that you've had to make, you know, to obviously build DPC to what it is now?
Definitely time with kids.
Yeah.
Like that. And again, like, I just didn't know any different.
Mm.
Exactly like you said before. I just thought the harder you worked, the more hours you did, the more successful you're going to be, mate. So that's what I did.
Mm.
The reality is it doesn't change shit.
Mm.
You can do all the hours in the world. You can be the hardest worker on site.
Mm.
If you're not right, you're not taking ownership, you're not taking responsibility, you're not being
And how are you now seeing that? Because you speak to a lot of builders. I guarantee you there's guys out there that are in that. Do you still see, like, when you notice that?
People don't want the truth, mate. Like, when I tell people now that it's them.
Yeah.
Like, they can tell me, winch to me, whatever they want to do about anything, and I can give them a solution for that.
Mm.
But reality is they're in that position because of them.
Mm.
And 9 times out of 10, people, they won't go and take that advice because, I don't know, it's just human nature.
Mm.
And, mate, I talk about data all the time. I should track it. But, like, the amount of people that have reached out to me 2 or 3 times with the same question, and I've told them the exact same thing. And like now, I save everyone's number now. Like, I see them ringing and I ignore it. A few of them will send me a message. Mm. Like, I really have no time these days for people that aren't going to listen. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty simple.
Yeah, and I think this comes back down to the the execution side of it. Like, when I give someone, if they are asking, you know, I used to be bad with giving unsolicited advice. Being that guy at that barbecue where people would, you'd hear a conversation, you'd just approach and, you know, thankful for my wife, she whipped me now. But, you know, giving unsolicited advice, it made me seem like a cock, right? So I don't do that anymore. But when someone comes to me and they say, and I'm not a world of wisdom, I'm not that, I'm not preaching that, but I do get guys that ask me, hey, like, what would you do in this situation or that? And I give it to them, but then they don't do it. Or they think it's shit, and then I'm like, man, like I told you, like you just didn't want to do it. But hey, you got to learn the hard way, I guess. Yeah. You know?
Everyone's got different experience as well. Mm. Like every day is a school day. Like, mm. And I guarantee you, there's stuff that you're putting out there on your podcast now. The stuff that you're telling people that in 5 years, 10 years time, you're gonna watch back and go, fuck me. Like
five years? You mean 5 weeks?
But that, yeah. Like, that's
no.
What happens. Like, but the difference is whether you're the person that grows in 5 to 10 years to realize that, hey, that was not right what I did then. I'm glad I'm doing what I'm doing now. Or you're still the same person in 5 to 10 years laughing at what you said. Oh, fuck yeah, I know all my shit. Like,
yeah. And then, you know, most people just live the same 6 months every single year for the rest of their life. They never change. They're just doing the same shit, you know? But, yeah, hopefully that isn't the case with me. I hope that I listen back to this little spiel in 5 years' time and, I'm like, fuck, why do you sound like that? What are you talking about?
Mate, I have seen some of your videos that I think, fucking hell. Yeah. Like, should I really be going on this podcast?
Trust me, I'm a good guy. I am actually a very genuine guy. But as you said at the start, social media is one of those things. It's not the real person.
I don't want to take over your podcast. You're very different in person than you are on your podcast and social media.
Yeah.
And like, I've only met you a couple of times. Like at your, when you come on my podcast, like you're a very genuine person. Mm. And we looked at getting these guys to do some carpentry work for us on a job this year. It didn't all pan out.
Mm.
But had a couple of meetings with Corey and met him on site and stuff. And like well, you still haven't physically done any work for me, but you definitely talk the talk like you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, I hope that I know what I'm doing. Well, at least I run the ship. Yeah.
When it comes to like the quotes that you provided us, the professionalism that we had in that side of dealings with you, like you're miles ahead of most people your age.
Mm. Oh, thank you so much, mate.
No,
I know I don't get a lot of flowers from anyone, but I will take them when they come. Thank you very much.
Mate, you do put out some shit on social media.
Yeah, I know, but it's not the real me, guys. But I guess believe what you want to believe, and I've got a lovely little quote. You know, you listeners wouldn't be able to see it, but there's a little quote in here that says, "Make them feel something either way." So I always started out on this little content journey to break through because, as everyone knows, I haven't lived a long life. I had to break through and, I make content, and it is up to the person that watches it to feel a way. They will feel either happy, sad, angry. That's not up to me, you know. We have angled videos in a way to make people feel a way, meaning happy, right? Oh, look at these guys. And then I've got backlash at that for some unknown reason. Like, I'm like, what the hell? Like, so when I started to really go down the rabbit hole, I'm like, okay, well, there is no way I can win.
Just be real, mate.
I just be with whatever's there. And then, you know, we put it out there for everyone to see. But no, I am actually very genuine. All right. So, all right, we're nearly done. I've got a final question for you. When people speak about you in 20 years' time, what do you hope that they say?
I want to be the guy that changed the building industry, mate.
Yeah.
Like, without being a dick about it, but I want to be the guy that changed an industry to get more young people into it, to get people enjoying it, to not have the industry frowned upon Like I'm actually really battling with it at the moment. Like both my girls go to an all girls school,
mm-hmm.
and we've been having a few conversations lately with my daughter that's going to be 15 this year about whether she continues or what she does with her life. And she's brought up some stuff that they get told at school, and it's been along the lines that you don't want to get in the building industry, it's not for girls and all this sort of shit.
Mm.
So, yeah, hopefully in 20 years' time, the building industry is celebrated. It's not frowned upon anymore. People want to get into it. Like, it's a good place to work. The environment's good. People get looked after. Like, so yeah, I'm that's my, like, what I want there to be a legacy that,
yeah, the when building is, when Dwayne Pierce is no longer on front of the camera, that's the, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's, I don't do anything that I'm doing for the money, mate. I do it because I don't just say it. Like, I've been through shit that I would not wish on my worst enemy. Yeah. Like, if there was a poster boy for stupidity, it's me. Mm. Like, I lost hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes doing the same thing.
Mm.
Like, so again, coming back to what you were talking about before, like, I like built big businesses. I got fined for things because I didn't know about doing them, but I didn't learn. I just thought, fuck, I've lost all that money. I'm going to fucking knuckle down. I'm going to work even harder. I'm going to build my team bigger. I'm going to, like,
go again,
do more hours instead of learning from it. Like, what should I have done to make that not happen again?
Mm.
And so, yeah, for a long time there, I was definitely a good poster boy for stupidity. Mm.
But it comes down to the person, right? Because you can't get punched in the mouth as hard as you did and then still have what you have today. That's because right. A lot of guys would have got punched in the mouth once or twice and gone, ah, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, you could have been a construction manager by now doing something else or whatever, you know?
Yeah, so look, I don't know where that comes from, but again, it's all part of this legacy that I want to leave behind is I want it like shit that we should know to be taught in school. Like, I want trades to be something that, like, I don't even know, like, where all this sort of will end up or what will happen with it. But an ultimate goal for me would be that someone in, say, year 9 or 10, because they have those careers days and things. If anyone is interested in being a tradie or a builder or getting in a designer, architect, whatever it is in the construction industry, then actually put real-world people in front of them.
Mm.
Don't get some fucking clown that's read a textbook about being in the building industry that then sits in front of kids and goes, oh, you don't want to do this, it's hard work, or if you do this, you need that. They've never fucking done it.
Mm.
Like, and I know there's actually some older builders now that are retired that are really passionate about this that I talk to all the time, and they're one guy up north that is actually trying to put a proposal forward that basically that's what happens. Like, old passionate people that have done well in the industry get put in front of kids.
It's a good idea.
I've spoken at a few schools and a few TAFEs now, and the kids get a lot out of it. Mm. It's like the old saying, mate, like, those that can't teach, those that do.
Yeah.
Like, and basically that's who we have, all these people teaching our kids that either never were or couldn't keep up or failed trying to be what they're now teaching our kids to do.
Mm.
And I just think that's wrong. So there's a lot of parts to what I see in the future. Mm. I just want to keep pushing what I'm pushing, and hopefully some of it will fall in place.
Oh, well, mate, you know, I'm a young buck myself. So hopefully in 20 years' time, you know, the torch, pass it down the line. All right, well, we're going to wrap it there, guys. Dwayne, I want to thank you again, mate, for coming on. Seriously, it was, very full circle moment for me anyway. So thank you again.
Cheers, mate.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode. If something hit home for you, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could like and share this podcast with someone else that would benefit from it. Tune into next week's episode, as this will be one that you don't want to miss.